Thank you very much.
Good morning.
Okay, good morning, good evening. Glenn, can you help me do a roll call, please?
Certainly, Olga, I will. On the call, we have Rafik Damak, Chuck Gomes, Olga Cavelli, Deborah Hughes, and Claudio DiGangi. And for staff, we have Julie Hedlund and myself, Glenda Saint-Géry. And we have apologies from Victoria McEvedy. Is there anybody else that I've missed off? I think that's all. Thank you, Olga. Over to you.
Thank you, Glenn, and good morning, good evening. For today's call, I want to share with you some work I have been doing in the week. I've opened the document and I read it completely, and what I found is that some recommendations are referenced or repeated in several parts of the document. So what I did is I highlighted them, and as a general proposal, I think that the recommendations should be all together in one part of the document, and maybe the other considerations that are included in the document, which I think are very important and valuable, which brings to the background on why this recommendation is made and on which basis it has been written, should be perhaps separate, because if not, it's very difficult to find which are really the recommendations. So what I did contribution, that's the word I wanted to say, to the work, I highlighted the recommendations in the second part of the document, and I'm trying to open it, and I cannot find it. So I sent it to the list. I don't know if it's a good idea, bad idea, but I think if we don't order the document, it will be difficult that we finish it by the 1st of July. I don't know what others think, and if you have some other ideas on how to move forward in order to finish our document on time. I can't find my document.
Oh, I see. I think I see where you sent it. Okay.
It's the same document, but what I did is I went through all the document and highlighted what its recommendations in the second part of it. And some of these recommendations are already in the first part of it, and as for me, it resulted quite confusing in knowing. For example, say someone wants to know our recommendations and want to read the document just for building a new constituency, and we should be more concise and put them all together, ordered, and at the beginning, and then perhaps we can add all the background and all the reasons that took us to include that text in our document, but it could be somehow separated. That's one of my first proposals. If not, if we agree in a text in the first part of the document and then we go back to the second one and we find again the same recommendation or something similar, then we have to revise it again, and then that will be more time-consuming.
By the way, Olga, this is Chuck, and I think your recommendation is outstanding. I'm fully supportive of it. Whatever report we send forward needs to be very clear on the recommendations and concise. And anything else we decide to add can be there, but hopefully it won't confuse the main part of the submission, and that's the recommendations.
Any other comments? So what I did, I sent it. The problem is that I finished it this morning, and I didn't send it. I sent a comment about this two days ago, but then I went and I did it. I marked all the recommendations in the section. Now I found the document. When it starts part four, it says analysis, and it goes through different issues that have already been reviewed. Then it goes again to some recommendations. We recommend blah, 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 the term limits should expressly be blah, blah, blah. And then we recommend the formation of a committee and committees, and we already have recommendations in the first parts of the documents, which are, for example, not the introduction, but when we say part two, compromise recommendations. I think that that part two should have all the recommendations together, ordered and clearly stated. And perhaps then, under analysis, we can have all this text explaining, or maybe it could be footnotes or I don't know, annexes. But the background of each recommendation should be, in my modest opinion, separate. Also, I noted other thing, and I don't know what you think about it. At the end of the document, there are two pieces of document that dealing with staff, a code of practice, I don't see the relationship with this text and our mission for this document. I don't know what you think about it. It's 3.12 at the end. It says dealing with staff, a code of practice. I think it's not related with, I'm not saying it's wrong or right. I'm just saying it's not in between the mission of this document. And then it says Schedule 1, the BCG guidelines. That should be in a footnote, because it's a text that it's already known, and I don't see the value of including it. It turns out to be a very long document. And that's my suggestion for the general revision of the document. I don't know if you have comments. And then, as this general, as I said, this general comments, we would go to the different text that we had to review, and we agreed to review this week. Any comments?
I like where you're going with this, Olga. I just opened up the document, so I haven't looked through the whole thing, but I think you're going in a very legitimate direction. One very minor point in part two, I see that we still call them compromise recommendations. I thought we had eliminated the word compromise.
Yeah, I think so, but we still have it. Also, it's difficult to review the document with all the changes. But anyway, having it as a Word document with changes control, that's easy. You can see with or without them. We should take away compromise. What do others think?
Yeah, I agree with that.
Okay.
Yeah, Olga, this is Julie. I've noted the change. I probably missed it in the numerous changes we've made, but I have indicated it in this revision of the document.
Sorry? Olga?
Rafik?
Yes.
Go ahead, Rafik.
What do you want to do exactly for the... What kind of change you want to do?
It's not specifically a change. It's the way that the document is ordered. If you go to the part named part four.
Sorry, Olga, I understand that, but I just want to know how you what you suggest as ordering of this document.
Okay, what I suggest is that perhaps me and Julie, or if someone wants to help me, I could put all together the recommendations in the recommendations part, join the ones that are similar or very similar or exactly the same, and try to find a common language for each of them. I think this is something that we should do, because if not, it's very confusing.
Just maybe it will take more time than expected. So I think that the part analysis is more the background of the recommendation that it's, maybe it should be at the beginning to explain the why of this recommendation, and at the end, the recommendation will be just a list and some more easy to follow. But the analysis is more the background and the reason for this recommendation. It's my understanding. So maybe we can, just to leave the explanation and for the coherence to make the reference from of those recommendations to those explanations.
This is Chuck. Let me suggest a compromise between what Olga is suggesting and what Rafiq is suggesting, why don't we start with an executive summary that doesn't need to list the recommendations, okay, but gives enough background to make the to give some sense to the and context to the to how we got the recommendations without going into all the detail, and then in the executive summary reference a more detailed explanation of analysis and work that went on that would follow the recommendations. So the first thing would be an executive summary. The second thing would be a list of all the recommendations, and then we could have a more detailed analysis. What I'm trying to achieve is something very easy for the community, the OSC, the council eventually, to get to the meat of the report right away and give enough context in the executive summary so that it's easy to follow the how we got to where we are without going into the full details. So very quickly, and keep in mind, the council is going, and even the steering committees, are going to be looking at a whole bunch of these documents all at the same time. So they're going to have a huge load to review all of these. And it's important that they can find a lot of the detail on analysis and stuff like that as needed. But the most important thing is that they easily can find the recommendations and, of course, then after that, find any minority positions with regard to those.
Any other
comments? Does that work, Rafiq?
So if I understand the executive summary, it will be the analysis, but in more short way.
Right.
I think I agree that there is in the analysis that the current analysis that there is many times repeating parts with recommendations. So it sounds a good compromise. I'm not sure for Olga. Do you agree?
Any other comments? Any other comments? Any other opinions? So,
Chuck's suggestion sounded good to me. Olga, it's Claudio.
Thank you, Claudio.
Yeah, I agree as well. It's Debbie.
Debbie, thank you. So, what Chuck is saying is, and I fully agree, it's an executive summary, the list of all the recommendations, and then we can add maybe a more descriptive section with all the background. Is that the idea, Chuck?
Yeah, and I think, to be fair, that after the recommendations of the group, we probably should include any minority recommendations so that it's very easy to see what those are, too. And then you can go into all the background and detail part of the report for those who want to dig in more depth.
Great. Okay, so it's executive summary, the recommendations, minority recommendations, and the background.
Yeah, and the minority recommendations doesn't need to include the minority statement, but just a quick summary of the minority recommendations. As you'll recall, when the OSC looked at the report on the toolkit of services, several of the members were wondering why were the minority statements longer than the report.
Yes.
I mean, there's nothing to prevent them being longer than the report, but they didn't find it useful that, you know, that long of a statement, or they and so it's okay if they are long. I don't want to hinder anybody's ability to express their minority positions, but let's not put them in full where the minority recommendations are.
Okay. We could perhaps, once we have all the minority reports and recommendations, we can check how much text it is and summarize it.
Well, yeah, just pull out the recommendations and then make a reference to the full minority statements that apply later in the document.
Exactly. Okay. My suggestion about how to proceed is that we reviewed the text that we have to finalize. We had two or three parts of the text that we were talking about last week. We finished that language, and if we have the time, we can start checking which recommendations are in the second part of the document and compile it with the first part. And if not, I volunteer to do that, and I'm open to someone else joining with me during this week. And so I could propose an
this is Julie. I'd be happy to take the pen on doing a first cut of putting the task one, subtask one, and task one, subtask two recommendations together into one document. Although I should note, well, I guess that leads me to ask a question. Are we now sure that, are we happy that the task one, subtask three recommendations are accepted as is? I have not seen any comments on any changes to them. Have you?
No, I haven't, and I'm okay with the text.
In that case, then, Olga, this is Julie, I could then take all three sets of recommendations, make them one document in the format that we have discussed with an executive summary, the recommendations listed, the brief minority report summary.
If we had that, it seems to me it would make it real easy for us to do a final check and review and confirmation of the recommendations and the minority recommendations, and then we can still tweak the rest of the report, but the most critical part is the executive summary, the recommendations, and the minority recommendations. And so if we get those right, it makes it easy to go back, and it's maybe a little bit time consuming, but not an insurmountable task to edit the rest of the document.
Did we lose Olga?
We might have when we had that noise, huh?
Yeah.
Yes, in fact, she has disconnected, and it probably was due to the noise. I'll see that the operator calls her back.
Okay. So what we should do now?
This is Julie. Rafiq, we might want to just wait a minute and see if Olga comes back on. Hopefully she'll be able to join us momentarily.
And Michael's not on today, is he?
Not that I've seen.
This is Debbie. Do you mind if I just take a hello?
Sorry, I dropped off. Sorry. I'm back. I lost the last 5 minutes of conversation. I'm so sorry.
Olga, I think it was me speaking. I think what I had suggested, actually you had confirmed for me that, there are no changes to subtask three of task one, and Chuck had noted how much easier it would be to be able to make any final changes to the recommendations once we have a combined document to work with.
Okay, so we should work on based on your document, Julie. That would be the base document for putting all together the recommendations and the executive summary and the background.
That would be what I would plan to do. I do have a couple of questions, though, with respect to whether or not we can, agree or just to confirm that various sections of the subtask two recommendations are going to be deleted, so I don't needlessly include them in my combined document. For instance, you've proposed, deleting the code of practice, and I was wondering if the work team members agree with that.
Now, which part were you talking about?
It's at the end of the document.
I just didn't hear. Is this the one on the staff?
Yes, I don't see the. Okay. Yeah, my comment is I'm not saying it's wrong or right. I'm saying I don't see the relationship with the document. But that's my opinion. I would like to hear yours.
I'm okay with removing it. I think. Everything in it is good. I mean, most of the time I'm for treating staff well.
Julie, Chuck, I agree completely.
So I don't have any problem with removing it. I think we're all in agreement with the principles that are there, but I'm not sure it has to be in this report. If somebody really feels strongly about it, I wouldn't oppose it, but I'd put
that's
it down.
My comment. That's my comment. I don't see it in the report. I think it makes it longer, and it brings another issue that it's not related to what we have to write about. And it's a pity that Victoria is not in the call, or someone else that was in her team. Is there any reason that we may want to keep it? Perhaps I'm missing something.
Olga, this is Claudio. I think... I think the thinking was that it was sort of, I guess, related to constituency operating procedures. So I think that was sort of the connection. But I agree. I think sort of having a written formal policy is sort of creating another. Could be creating another set of issues, but I think that was the original intent that Victoria had.
Okay, so we have two options: or we take it out, or we include it in the last part as a background. I didn't find a lot of relationship in between our document and this part.
Well, it probably better fits in the communications and coordination team than
yes,
it does ours, because
exactly.
it's an overall thing for the whole community, and it's basically covered by the ombudsman principles or some other things in terms of how we all treat one another within the ICANN community, and that the board has done some things there and everything. So again, I can go either way. I don't care if somebody strongly feels that they want to leave it in. I don't have any problem with that. I think it's probably makes our it reduces the size of our report if we take it out. So I lean towards taking it out.
Any other comments?
Does anybody on this call disagree with taking it out?
Well, that's lovely. Usually I don't feel so comfortable with taking out any part.
It's at the end. It's in part, let me tell you. If you have the document I sent an hour ago, it's highlighted in red. It's at the end of the document, and it's in the part. It's a long document. I'm trying to find the big title.
Yeah, Olga, it's Julie. It's
part Rocky, 4.
3.12.
Yeah, but it's 3, but it's part 4, which is the last part of the document, which is the longest.
Okay.
It's 3.12, dealing with staff, a code of practice.
About the relation with the staff?
Yes. I'm not saying it is bad what it says. I think it's not related with the spirit of our document. It's not our mission to talk about this. That's my opinion. This is why I'm bringing this to you.
So maybe if we put it as an annex or something like that, maybe... Because we already, I think that we already commented this part a long time ago, so that's why I'm kind of surprised that now we want to take out all. So.
Well, I read the whole document two or three times this week, trying to find a way to make it more concise and trying to find a way that for others, because we know the document very well by now, that's what I guess, but if I were from the community and want to get some recommendations from the GNSO and I read this document, I would get confused. So this is what I try to do, to make it shorter, more concise, and more ordered. That's my intention. But if you think that we have to keep it in our next step, that's okay for me also.
This is Claudio. I think on Rafiq's concern, his last comment, I don't think we've actually agreed to, I don't think we reviewed the code of practice and agreed
I don't remember, but maybe I'm missing something.
Yeah,
We talked about it at one point. It was a long time ago now, so we did talk about it. I don't know what level of agreement we reached, but we certainly did discuss it.
This is Julie. Actually, we also, this might be confusing because it also, there is the Annex B, which also has to do with relations with staff. And on our last call, we agreed to delete Annex B.
Yeah,
and that was discussed sometime previously, actually in Seoul, I believe. Or Sydney, one of the two.
Sydney, I think it was Sydney.
Mm. Olga, this is Debbie. I have a question. So regarding the section 3.12, were there any deliverables that this group came up with that relate to this section? I'm having difficulty understanding the relevancy for this section to be included.
That's my point. You know, Debbie, you were not in this team at the beginning.
Right.
We divided our work into sub-working teams, and some each sub-working team proposed some text, and then they proposed this draft. And this is why I was trying to understand if there is a rationale that I don't know behind it, and I don't remember. I was not part of that working team.
So, Olga, if I'm understanding correctly, this was something that was discussed, but no particular recommendation or particular outcome resulted from that discussion?
I remember talking about this, but I'm not sure if we agreed in including it or deleting it. I myself, revising the whole document, I found it not strictly related with this, what we have to provide in our document. That's my comment. But we can keep it as an annex if we are not sure of having it or not. I mean, I don't want to push you for something that I may be wrong.
I guess I'm just trying to understand, if I was reading this document and I haven't been involved and I've been limited, you know, had limited involvement in on this group, I guess I would look at this section and try to figure out why it's there and what am I as a reader supposed to be taking away for it. So I'm leaning towards agreeing with what you're saying. I'm just trying to wrap my hands around, is the purpose of this document to, you know, to leave the reader with, this is what we discussed and this is what we recommend? And if the answer is there was nothing, this is just something we were talking about and it's important, then maybe it goes to an annex. But if there's no action items or recommendations, or I'm just trying to think of why it should be included in the body, is what I'm just trying to understand. And I'm not trying to, you know, to mess things up.
That's somehow my point. So, but let's keep it. We're spending too much time on this. Let's keep it as an annex, and then we can take it out or not. It's not harmful. I mean, it's not, in my modest opinion, related to the document. And then there is a Schedule 1, the BCG guidance. Could we add it as a footnote or a link? I mean, I don't see the purpose of having this in the document.
Help me understand what you're talking about.
Right after the 3.12.
Oh, okay. Oh,
it says Schedule 1, the BCG guidelines. Why we have that here? I see no reason.
What you're saying. Yeah.
Excuse me, Olga. This is Julie. I just have to leave for about 5 minutes.
Don't worry.
I'll let you know right when I get back.
Okay. No problem. So maybe we can add it as a footnote or a link in a footnote.
Sorry, Olga, it's the Schedule 1 PGC guidelines?
Yes, it's at the end of the document.
Part
of
the red. It's part of the red part that Olga marked.
Yeah. It says 43 BCG report sets out guideline minimums that the opening procedure must observe. These are as follows. So it's part of the BCG report, which is okay, but I don't see why it's here.
I think it's maybe it should be combined with the executive summary because it's explained the background of the recommendation. Like the term limits, focusing since you officer, etc. But part alone is not really relevant.
Now, whether or not it should be included is a different issue, but it definitely should not be in the executive summary. An executive summary is supposed to be just that, a summary, and so you don't want to repeat lengthy things and content from reference documents, at least not detailed content, in an executive summary, because executive summary is supposed to be concise and provide a good overview, so you don't want to go into this level of detail.
Good
morning.
Tony, how are you?
Hi, sorry I'm late.
Sorry, Olga, maybe we can, it's just an annex or footnote, so I think it's okay.
I would include it in, I would suggest to include it as an annex or footnote with a link, but because I guess this is in an online document already, and make a reference to it. I don't see the reason, because it's confusing. Then you see this, and you see our recommendations, and for someone reading the document, it's quite confusing. So we put it in an annex. Or I will check with Julie how can we include the text, but not in the body of the text. Is that okay?
That's fine.
Okay. Yeah. I'm okay with that.
Okay, so we have 23 minutes. Why don't we try to finalize the wording of the text we had to review? I have a horrible echo in my line. I don't know if you hear me well.
Yeah, I hear you.
Okay. So I will bear the echo. We were going to revise, let me check the notes from the last meeting. So I will work with Julie in preparing a new version with a different compilation of the text, and hopefully I will send it not 1 hour before the call on Friday. I will try to send it before Friday, maybe Wednesday or Thursday. Does someone else want to join us in that task? It's okay if I do it with Julie.
Yes. In fact, it's probably easier to do a task like that with fewer people.
Okay. I know.
It makes it statistically simpler.
I agree, but I'm always open to volunteer. Okay. So there are two or three parts of text that we had to review. And
Olga, can I just ask a question real quick?
Sure.
We're working off the wiki, right?
Sorry, I didn't hear you.
We're working on the Word document that Julie sent, right?
Okay, that's what
Yes.
I was just, let me see, what section was it? I think it was the term limit section. Is I think a new section that we sort of agreed to setting up. I just wasn't sure where that language was.
That's exactly what I wanted to review with you, because I'm not sure if we finally agree in two or three parts of the text that were substance, not order in the text, but we had to agree how do we want to present those recommendations still. We have to review Part 2, Section 1, Term Limits. Go to the document. Part 2. I'm trying to find the text.
I got it. It's on page, let me see. It's on page 3 of the 16 pages.
Committees. elections.
Estaban tocando el partido, puede ser ahora.
Voting. I cannot find it. Sorry.
You see the page numbers on the on Julie's document? If you go to page 3, it's on page 3. That if you look in your Word version, it'll show page numbers, especially if, you know...
And this is Julie. I'm back on the call. Thank you very much.
Great. Thank you, Julie. Julie...
Right at the beginning of part 2.
Yeah, we're trying to finalize the wording for... Part 2, Section 1, Term Limits. I'm trying to find it in the document, and I'm totally lost.
Yeah, so it's Part 2, and it's Term Limits is number 1, so it's the very first thing right
okay.
after Part 2.
Okay. Yeah. So we have, no person shall serve as the group counselor or officer or a stakeholder group executive committee member for more than 4 consecutive years. A member who has served for consecutive 4 consecutive years must remain out of office for 1 full term prior to serving any subsequent term as a group counselor, officer, or member of a stakeholder group executive committee. Any exceptions to this policy would require approval by the group or stakeholder group membership. In our notes from last call, we had to revise this text and finalize it. And Claudio, what you were saying, that we agreed in what?
Well, I recall that there was some language that I had proposed that I thought we had agreed to, or at least tentatively, and it was a little bit different than what's appearing here.
You send it in an email?
Yeah, it's in the wiki. I mean.
This is Julie. Yeah, you know, we discussed last week that I should draft new language. I had thought that we had discussed what the language would be, and I'm sorry if I must have misunderstood that we also agreed to pick up the language that you had recommended, Claudio. I can look back at the wiki. What would people like me to do?
Well, what's your suggested change?
What I had was, no person shall serve in the same group leadership position for more than 4 consecutive years. And I guess we decided to have that apply to counselors, officers, or stakeholder group executive committee.
Right.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, isn't that what this says?
Actually, I think this is a little bit different because the language I had stated that I was serving in the same group leadership position, and this doesn't have that language. This is this basically is saying if you're a counselor, you could. The term limit would basically sort of carry over, the way I read this. Maybe it's just open to interpretation and how you read it, but it would seem to me that in this text the term limit, it doesn't matter if you're in the same position or not.
I got you. Okay, I got it. Yeah. So this just says you can't be an officer, stakeholder group, or executive committee, a stakeholder group, executive committee member, regardless of what position you're in. There's a term limit in general, whereas you were saying in the same position.
Yeah.
And I was supporting that, too.
Yeah, okay, I
guess. Sorry, Olga. Rafik.
Yes, Rafik, you want to comment? Please go ahead.
Yeah, because I commented this part about why only the executive committee of stakeholder group but not the executive committee of constituency. I don't understand why dropping the constituency from this term limit, and I'm not sure about the language proposed by Claudio.
So if
he can repeat it, because I don't really understand. And also I want to add that the limit should be applied to the Constituency Executive Committee.
Olga, can I get in the queue?
Sure, Sonny, go ahead.
Yeah, I can see what Rafiq is referring to, but probably because he doesn't have much experience in constituencies. Within a constituency, you might have an executive committee, you might not have an executive committee. You do have some structure within a constituency which coordinates the way the constituency functions. It's not a policy body, it's not something where you have people in power and they stay there like, you know, we're an emperor for the rest of our days sort of thing. There seems to be some misunderstanding there. And you have different, if I might finish, Rafiq, you have different levels of participation, new what would be the right term? You have new bodies emerging constantly, as ICANN reforms itself, and you have more constituencies coming in. So it's not really the same thing to talk about something, a committee within a constituency and a committee which is part of the stakeholder group, or indeed the actual GNSO Council.
Okay, thank you, Tony. But just even if, for example, there is no executive committee in the, I don't know, in the ISPPC constituency, it doesn't mean that it not exists in other constituencies. So it's not no existence of that executive committee in some constituency, that no rule should be applied in the other constituency which have executive committee. So
okay.
Maybe if we want more, that we any leadership position should have term limits, so it can work for any case in that case.
Can we, just Chuck, how about if we break this apart a little bit? First of all, let's, as far as counselors, that's already covered by a position that the GNSO Council voted on a few years ago. There are term limits for counselors, okay? Not everybody, it wasn't unanimous, but it was supported by the council. So that's a separate issue. Now let's look at officers, okay? Claudio, if I understand what you're saying, then this is going to be an extreme example, but it will illustrate the point I want to make. That is, so if you have a chair, a vice chair, a secretary, and a treasurer who are the officers of a stakeholder group or constituency, what you're suggesting is that those four people could just rotate around in different positions, and you could keep the same four people without any term limits. In my opinion, that would go contrary to the board recommendation of trying to create diversity and get new leadership. Now, what I would add to that is, if you are in a situation where you're having trouble getting leaders, you've got the last sentence that the group can approve an exception if it needs to. So you're covered there. It just requires the full group to approve it. So if you've got a real need, it shouldn't be hard to get the group to approve an exception. So and then with regard to executive committee members, it gets a little more confusing with executive committee members, not only because not everybody has them, but because they often include counselors and officers. So there's a lot of overlap with executive committees, and that's a tougher one to deal with. But at least with officers, I don't think I would support your position there for the two reasons I cited. Did that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Those are fair points. I'm trying to understand. So, with the exception to the policy, So the idea there is, in the cases when you know, I guess, you know, the group would want to keep the same people in those positions, they can then request an exception.
Well, yeah, if there's a need, and you know, there's, in other words, you've got four people, you have four officers, and you have four people who are willing to step up, and you can't identify that nobody else is willing to submit the time, the group could approve an exception. The key is that the whole membership group needs to approve that, so it can't be manipulated so that you just maintain the same people all the time running the show. But as long as, according to your voting procedures or whatever procedures you have, that's approved by the full group, you can do that.
Chuck, I'm sorry, when you're saying group, you mean constituency, or am I wrong?
Yeah, well, it could be constituency or stakeholder group, either one, Tony.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
That's why I was using group generally, yeah.
I understand.
Okay. We should agree in some text, or we can have a text and other opinions.
So Chuck, so I understand your position a little better. So what you're saying is that if you serve as a counselor for 2 years, and then let's say you serve as the secretary or some similar position, then you're term limited out at that point.
I wasn't going that far. I think that's something we still need to discuss. I was taking each of the pieces individually. Okay. So with counselors, we know they're term limited. They cannot be a counselor more than two terms consecutive, and there has to be a term in between. That's covered elsewhere. Okay, so we already know that. With officers, I was strictly focusing on the officers themselves. To say what you're saying, that it would be possible for the same four people to be officers as long as they switch officer positions indefinitely, okay, without any break, without any changes. And I don't think that's consistent with the BGC recommendations. Now, if there is a situation, though, just looking at officers, where you are in a bind, you can't find people who will devote the time that's needed, you have an option through the exception procedure to deal with that. I wasn't by all of that saying that a counselor couldn't become an officer if in that sense. I wasn't going that far.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the answer is there. I'm not even sure what my position is there. So does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it does. That does. That does clarify it to me. I guess you sort of run into the same sort of issue there, because you're not rotating amongst the officers, but the counselors and the officers and the executive committee people could all then potentially be rotating. So you still sort of, I think, run up into that same.
Yeah, I think that Rafiq has a valid concern here, and that is that. I don't think we want to recommend a situation where, okay, let's say, so you got, if we're talking about let's just talk about a constituency, and let's say you've got two counselors, you've got three officers, let's say those five people make up the executive committee, which sometimes occurs, then you don't want a situation where five people just rotate positions and you keep the same leadership all the time if you can avoid it. And I think that's what the board was trying to get at. Let's try to work towards some change there. And so at the same time, as you guys know, I'm empathetic to the issue that it's hard to find people who will step up. And so we've created in the last sentence then a way for a group to deal with those kind of situations if they have to. And I think Tony said this before, they probably will sometimes. We all know how that works if we've been around for a while. But the provision is there for that, and it's got the protection built into it that the group membership has to approve that. And if there's a desperate situation, a situation where you can't find leaders, I can't imagine why the group wouldn't support that.
Well, actually, Chuck, you're right, because we've had this issue with geographic diversity, and now and then when there just hasn't been the possibility to fulfill the geographic diversity in the bylaws. You probably remember a couple of instances.
Oh, yeah, yes, yes.
And so, I mean, it was just not applicable because there was nobody there from another region to step in.
Right.
So I guess really you have a reasonable point there. I don't know what you think, Claudio.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's a fair point.
Now, we still have to answer the question about somebody's no longer can be a counselor, but can they be on an officer and so on? That's a different question, okay?
Yeah.
Well, I personally, I would oppose having this as across all functions, because as I said before, we don't know how many more functions will be created. We may have more functions in a year or two down the line. There may be more functions to fill than we have members in a constituency. Hello?
Hello,
so one way of dealing with that, Tony, is to just separate these into multiple sentences. So we could say no person shall serve as a group counselor for more than we would have to see more than two terms, and that happens to be four consecutive years. Okay.
Yeah.
We repeat the same sentence for officers, and we repeat the same sentence for stakeholder group executive committee members.
Well, that would work for me.
Yeah, this is Olga. I was thinking about something a similar approach to that.
Sure.
Who could write it?
This is Julie. I can include that change in the next iteration, which would be the combination of everything into one document. So as I understand it, then it would essentially read the same as it does here, except for that each of these provisions would be in three separate sentences repeated for counselors.
Yeah, that's one approach. Let's make sure that all of us on the call agree to that approach. I wasn't advocating one way or the other, but pointing out that that's one way to handle it.
Well, actually, I think as far as Rafiq's concerned, that would definitely state that it would include executive committees of a constituency. They would not be able to be reelected. So perhaps that would solve his concern, too.
Actually, Tony, I thought it would just language now. I think just says stakeholder group executive committee.
Yeah, that's right, Claudia. This is Julie. So right now, it just applies to stakeholder groups because of the discussion we had in the last call of not applying the term limit to constituencies.
Then I misunderstood Chuck's proposal.
Well, my proposal didn't deal with whether or not I wasn't talking about whether the executive committees just applied to stakeholder groups or stakeholder groups and constituencies like Rafiq is suggesting.
Okay. Then I'm okay with that.
It's a separate issue, yeah.
Okay.
A question. We're spending an awful lot of time on executive committees, is there any executive committee that exists that you guys are aware of that doesn't include the officers and the counselors?
Not that I know of.
So are we spending a lot of time on something that it kind of overlaps?
Most likely, yeah.
Yeah.
This is Olga. I don't want to interfere because I'm not part of a constituency. I just want you to express all your comments, but I don't know.
Could each person that has an executive committee, whether it's a constituency or stakeholder group, just tell the rest of us what the membership of that executive committee is made up of, and not people's names, but rather positions? like Claudio, do you have an executive committee in the?
We don't actually.
Okay.
So.
How about you, Tony? Do you guys have an executive committee?
Yeah, we have one. It consists of the chair, the two counselors. Before it was three counselors, and two more people.
And the two people. Okay, so you have two people that would not fall in the first two categories. Okay, that's helpful. Rafi.
Sure, they're not on stakeholder group executive committee, and they're not counselors.
Yeah. Okay. And Rafiq, what is it for the NCSG?
We have a chair and three counselors and another person in the council, and we have the executive committee for the NCUC, and I think no, just there is nobody from that executive committee in the council. All of them are only under that executive committee, and we have a chair for the NCUC executive committee.
Chuck, as I understand it, the charter's in transition, so a lot of this is still being discussed, but there is no requirement that all the officers for the stakeholder group be on the executive committee.
Right. Yeah, I understand that. Thanks, Debbie. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, no problem.
This is Julie. I do apologize, but I have another call that I have to moderate, so I do unfortunately have to leave. You can keep discussing, and of course I can check the transcript and so on.
Thank you, Julie. I also have another meeting in a few minutes. How do we manage to finish this language about this paragraph?
I think Chuck had recommended we just parse it out into three separate sentences based on the structure that's there now.
Okay, and I think that Julie captured that idea. And
right,
you can review.
I'll capture that. I'll review the call. I do apologize. Thank you, everyone. And I have to sign off. Thanks.
Don't worry. Thank you very much, Julie. Thank you.
And then if Julie can send that to our list, then each of us can critique it and make suggestions or something on the list so that when we meet next week, hopefully we can reach some sort of a resolution.
Okay. What I will try to do during this week is prepare this new version or new ordered version with Julie and hopefully send it to you before the call so we have the chance to review it and you give me your opinion if you like it and how it's ordered. And we can review this language, and we also have to review the other part of the document about section 9C, but I'm sorry, I have to leave. I have another meeting now, so that's the plan for the week. We will send you a new document with the order that we agreed, and we should work on the text that we already have to agree on and keep on working on the document. And Debbie, just feel free when you have the time to maybe send some guidelines for the subordinate team.
Sure, I have a document that I wanted to send around to the folks that volunteered for task two, and I'll
great.
Do that right after this call.
Great. That's a great idea, and count on me. We are a bunch of us in the subworking team, so whenever you think you have the document, just send it.
Okay, I'll send it now then. Okay.
Okay. Thank
Alrighty.
You so much. And uh-huh. Thank you all of you for joining. Any other comments?
Yeah, Olga, I just was wondering, are we back on a week-to-week schedule now? For our meeting?
Bi-weekly?
Oh, every week.
I think we have to go every week because I don't think we will finish by 1st of July. Of June, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I understand it's a lot of work. I'm okay with every week. So if you are not joining, don't worry. You can catch up with the list and with the MP3, but I think we have to go weekly.
Yeah. No, that's fine with me. I just wanted to confirm it.
Okay. Okay, any other comments?
Thanks, Olga.
Great.
Thank you.
A nice weekend, and thank you for joining. Bye-bye.
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 Bye.